Betty will testify that I'm hot-natured to begin with, and no air conditioning makes it a little different. Appreciate the opportunity to stand before you this morning, and I thank you, Brother Roger, for the things that you brought to our attention. So when you read the Word of God, you come across the phrase, every man or all people. What do you do with that? I think that we have to rightly divide the word. And I think the word all doesn't mean all without exception, but it means all without distinction. And that means man or woman, black or white, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, you know, thin or short, or tall and short, or whatever. So if we don't do that, we're going to make the mistake that a lot of people do, and it kind of leads into some points of doctrine that aren't very healthy. But I'm going to give you an example concerning the birth of Jesus. The angels appeared to the shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and says, behold, we bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, does that mean all people without exception? Absolutely not. Concerning the birth of Christ, when the wise men came, came to Herod and says, where is he that's born the King of the Jews? And when Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So it wasn't good news or glad tidings of great joy to Herod. He said he was troubled, insomuch that he had all male children 2 years and under slaughtered. That's a horrible thing. Kind of what happened Pharaoh in Egypt, and how Moses got put in the basket in the river. And you know the rest of that story. So just like the train conductor, when he says all aboard, does he mean everybody without exception, or just those that have a ticket? It's just those that have a ticket who are under consideration when he says all aboard. So keep that in mind. And there's a phrase that I've been thinking about that came to me last night. And it's as many as. You've probably heard this spoken on before. I've never tried to speak on that phrase, but I want to if God will give me grace this morning to talk about that a little bit. In the book of John, in the first chapter, it says, concerning the Lord, he says, he came unto his own, but his own received them not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God has given, if we, brothers and sisters, we need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about getting born again. I'm talking about as a disciple. If we claim to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come under his discipline. We need to receive him and his teachings. I think it's the psalmist that said in one place, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We need to accept the person and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, because from a motivation of how great things that he's done for us. And we can't name all those things, no. But we need to understand that he's done great things for us, in redemption and coming and taking upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh and going to the cross of Calvary. But he says, as many as. He gives the authority to manifest their heritage. We don't become sons of God because we believe. We believe because we are sons of God and daughters. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, right? But we need to receive him and his teachings, and it's healthy. It's good for our spiritual walk. We need to walk with him. I remember on another occasion, you remember the woman that had the issue of blood 12 years. And she spent all her money going to the doctors, and she was none the better. And she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. There, you know, there's an Old Testament script verse that says, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Well, actually, the garment, on the hem of the garment, they would have what's called a tzitzit. I'm not making that up. It's sort of like a tassel. And not only the woman that had the issue of blood, when she touched him, he turned and says, who touched me? Who touched me? Well, it wasn't just that woman, but he says, as many as touched him were made, touched the hem of his garment were made whole. Brothers and sisters, we need to reach out and touch the Lord. We need to touch him. We need to come draw nigh, not with our mouths, but with our heart. Draw nigh unto the Lord while we can. Draw nigh and let's touch him. In fact, I'd like to be like the Apostle John and lay my head in his bosom. And one day we'll be able to do that. I believe that with all my heart, that one the day's coming that we'll be able to lay our head in the Lord's bosom. But as many as touched him, and we need to realize the blessings that we have. When the Lord says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You want that rest? We need to reach out and touch him. I'm talking about rest. Rest from what? From the labor of going about to establish your own righteousness. You have no righteousness of your own. What we plead the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reach out and touch him. Take his yoke upon you. Learn of him. He's meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest under your souls. You know, in the book of Hebrews, I guess I'll open my Bible here in a minute. He says, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Let us therefore labor that we might enter into that rest. That seems self-contradictory. It's kind of contradictory, but it's not. I remember a point in my life where the Lord was dealing with me, and I thought, well, you know, if I'll just make sure I'm there at the church before the doors open, and I'm giving all this money, and I'm doing all these good things, that'll get me right with God. Now, I think like that, and I was miserable. Then I go full circle, and I think, no, I think I'll just trust in what the Lord has done. He said he shall save his people from their sins, and I believe that he did it. And I found rest. I wasn't depending on any good work that I thought that I could do. And I would find rest. We need to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what old Baptists believe. We believe that he saved his people. He didn't try or make it possible. He did it. So as many as touched him were made whole. Reach out and touch the Lord. Perhaps he'll touch us back. Brother Roger talks about being touched by the Holy Ghost. You know, in the book of Acts, he talks about, well, let me go, I don't want to trust my memory. We'll go to Acts chapter 2. Down around verse 37. Now the Apostle Peter's preaching power and demonstration of the Spirit. And we know this because he says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Have you been pricked in your heart? Now, there's a difference. The Jews, when they heard Paul preach, they were cut to the heart. There's a difference between being pricked in the heart and cut to the heart. But they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, that doesn't mean that you get baptized, that you get regenerated. No. Peter says, baptism doth also now save us, in the here and now. Saves us from what? From this untoward generation. You know how evil the world is? But we follow the Lord. We were buried with Him in baptism, and we rise in newness of life. We put on Christ, and we're delivered, and we're set apart from all the nonsense and the evil stuff that's going on in the world. The Lord in John chapter 17 prayed concerning the apostles and those that would believe through their word, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. That's deliverance. In the book of Galatians, he says that what the Lord, Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 says, that the Lord has delivered us from this present evil world. So salvation is just not eternity. It's in time. It's now. It's today. Behold, today is the day of salvation. So anyway, and he goes on. And read this text like this. Jesus Christ is the Savior anointed. Okay, Jesus is Savior. Christ is anointed. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and in the name of the Savior anointed for the remission of sin. It was Jesus Christ that was anointed by the Holy Spirit when that dove sat on his shoulder. By the way, heard Sonny Powell say this, that God chose a dove as an emblem of the Holy Spirit, not a screech owl. Right? It's not about if we get loud or if we scream or, you know, get in a rhythm. It's not about that. As Brother Roger was speaking at a level tone, you know, power and demonstration of the Spirit is the ability of God to make manifest the thoughts and the intents of your heart. God can do that. He knows your thoughts and your intent. And by the way, you know, someone says, I've heard the saying that the road to hell is paved with good intent. Well, you know, I don't want to pick on Brother Tony. He's not here today. But sometimes he gets a little drowsy, right? But he has good intent because he got in his car and he drove here. And David had a desire to build the temple of God. But God wasn't going to let him. And he had a good intention. And God said, you're not going to build it. But it was good that it was in thine heart. God knows our true intentions. You know, we can make a lot of problems. He said, let God be true and every man a liar. Because we can make a lot of promises and not fulfill them. But God knows our intentions. Anyway, he goes on down to say, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that's comfort. You know, they received the Holy Ghost on the day of the resurrection. They were endued with the power of it on the day of Pentecost. Because on the day of the resurrection, the Lord appeared to the apostles, and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It was the day of Pentecost they received the power of it. As Brother Roger said, tarry ye at Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And they did have the power to heal and to cast out devils and raise the dead. And the apostles could confer the gift on other people, but those other people that received it could not confer it to others. You had a 40-year period where the apostles were doing signs and wonders and miracles, just like 40 years in the wilderness with the children of Israel. 40 is a period of trial. And it's the same way In the New, I believe that Jesus was crucified in AD 30, and 40 years later, in AD 70, the temple was destroyed. And the Jewish economy came to an end. It faded away, and Christ was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Colossians 1:23 says that. And Colossians 1:6, to all the world, and to every, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's not talking about preaching to cats and dogs. And I've seen some people on YouTube carry that way, way, way too far. I don't believe, now, I know that some people are sensitive about their pets, but I don't believe anywhere in the scripture that Jesus died for our pets. I love my dogs. I do. The Lord knows that I do. But if there are any animals in heaven, they were created there. And we, Book of Revelation kind of hints toward that. Okay, but anyway, he says, for the promise of the Holy Ghost, or the gift of the Holy Ghost, the comfort. He says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We're called. You know, you're called, you're definitely called gospelly. And we know that we're born of the Spirit again. We're called with that everlasting, that irresistible call of grace. Everybody answers that call. Everyone to whom the Lord died for will answer that call between the cradle and the grave. But the unfortunate thing about it is not everyone answers the gospel call. When I say everyone, I mean God's children. Not everyone answers the gospel call. Remember, he came to his own and his own received him not. They're his, whose were they? His own. He owned them. Just like the Lord owns us. He came and they didn't receive. You know, Hosea said, my people. Who? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're not destroyed eternally. You know, you can make shipwreck of faith and of life, and you can get off in a ditch. It doesn't mean the Lord doesn't still love you. If you ever felt his love once, he loves you still. But we can get out of the straight and narrow, and that straight and narrow is a difficult way, isn't it, Brother Ward? But as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that word voice in John 5:25 says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That Greek word is phone. It's a phone call. He doesn't get a busy signal. He doesn't get, you know, this number's out of service. He connects. He connects with us when he speaks life to us, because, you know, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We didn't care any more about God than a hog does Sunday, right? Or however the saying goes. And with many other words did he exhort and say, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, save yourself. What is that? What are we saved from? We're always saved from something to something. And I believe in this, and he says, it tells us exactly what it is, save ourselves from this untoward generation. That's still valid today. I believe that's still valid today, as it was then. And then we go on and 3,000 are added to the church. Some people say, well, the church didn't begin until the day of Pentecost. How do you add to something that doesn't exist? On the day of Pentecost, there were 120. The Lord preached, you know, John chapter 6, a great multitude follow him. He started preaching this doctrine. And he says, many of his disciples turned and walked with him no more. He wasn't about numbers. He wanted people that would follow him and believe the truth. But many of his disciples turned and walked with him no more. And then the apostles said, you know, what are we going to do? He says, Lord, you have the words of life. But after 3.5 years of preaching, 120 disciples. And when the Lord sat down to feed the multitudes, He set them down in companies of 50 and 100. I see of a company of almost about 50 right here, right now. Manageable. 5,000, he could preach to them. But I think 50 or 100 is manageable, Brother Ward. But he sat down and he fed them. To feed his sheep. Romans chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Being led by the Spirit. Listening for that still small voice. Still small voice. You know, it's not, the Lord's not in the fire or the earthquake, you know, or the whirlwind or any of that. But it's a still small voice. We need to have that quiet time where we shut the world out and we meditate on His goodness and His mercy, and we wait to hear from the Lord. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons and daughters. Then again, in Christ there's neither male nor female. So, as many as I love. As many as I love. Why didn't he say I love everybody? Oh, I know this is hard. This is hard doctrine. But he says he gave his life a ransom for many. I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. In the same chapter, John chapter 10, he tells those Pharisees on Solomon's porch, he says, you believe not because you're not my sheep. He didn't say, you're not my sheep because you don't believe. He says, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And like I say, I know it's hard doctrine. And we don't go around judging, saying, you know, I hear people all the time riding down the highway. I don't hear them. I see them waving to me. And they're not waving, you know, just, I guess they thought I was ugly or something and just wanted to give me a Yankee salute. The Lord knows them that are His. Hymenaeus and Philetus sought to overthrow the faith of some, teaching that the resurrection was past. But he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. You know, I can be fooled. Probably every one of us can be fooled. But you can't fool the Lord. No, sir. No way, no how. He knows His people. He knows them. Acts 13:48. As many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. We were ordained before the foundation of the world. Our names were penned in the Lamb's Book of Life. And regardless of what you hear other people say, when someone joins the church, that book is not open and a name is not added. It was written before the world ever began. And it says that Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, speaking of that book, the seal with seven seals, it says it was written within and on the backside. Now, I don't know if it's a book like this. Could be a scroll. I'm kind of thinking maybe it's something like this. It's written within, but it's sealed. I can't open it. But I can turn around and look on the back and see what's written there. So when he talks about maybe blotting a name out, not from the inside, but from the outside. Maybe this deals with the here and now. Because we can, like I said, we can make shipwreck. We can go off in a ditch and our conscience can become seared over with a hot iron. In other words, we become so hard that the Lord would cast us out. Not out of eternity, but out of today, here and now. That's, you know, and I know there's more than one book. It says that the seventh from Adam, Enoch, prophesied. Now, we don't have the Apocrypha or all the other books like the Catholic Church has, and I'm not down in them. I'm just saying they have like the Book of Enoch and a bunch of other books. But it says Enoch was prophesied. Extracurricular reading, interesting to look at some of that stuff. But we, as Brother Roger said, we believe this to be the inspired Word of God, 66 books. And there in the tabernacle, they had a table that they put the shewbread on. A row of six and another row of six. Bread, the bread, 66. Is that a coincidence? Six and six, 66. And we got 66 right here? I don't think it's a coincidence. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You know, what does he say? If you're not chasing, you're a bastard and not a son. So he says, don't faint when you're rebuked of the Lord. Because just like we correct our children, why do we do that? Do we want to let them play in the street? No, we don't. It's because we love them. And it's the same reason that God chastens and corrects us is because he loves us. He doesn't want us playing in traffic. And that's just an illustration, but you know what I'm talking about. And none of your children ever came to you and say, Daddy, I want a spanking. I want you to spank me. You know, they're not going to say that, but they feel secure when they are corrected because they know that they're loved. And the Lord loves you with an everlasting love. Why does he love me? I can't speak for you, but I just boggles my mind why the Lord would set his affection on somebody like me. But I believe it. Don't deserve it. I don't want what I deserve. I want God's mercy and God's grace to lead me on. But think about these things. Pray about it. May the Lord give you understanding. Thank you all for your good attention.